Maybe. Roland drained his glass in one gulp and stood up. 30 hours. Fine. If I'm not about, give it to one of the crew. I expect they'll still be here. Joshua watched the old man weave a path through the excited crowd. That was decent of you, Barrington said. You could have made instant money going to a big commercial distribution chain. Joshua flashed him a smile and they touched glasses. Like I said, he gave me a break when I needed it. Roland Frampton doesn't need a break. He thought he was doing you a favour agreeing to buy your cargo. First-time captains on the Norfolk run are lucky if they can make 200 cases.
Yeah, so I heard.
Now you come back with a cargo worth 5 times as much as his business. You going to tell us how you did it?
Nope.
Didn't think so. I don't know what you've got, young Joshua, but by God, I wish I had shares in you.
He finished his glass and treated Barrington to an iniquitous smile. He handed over the small bottle of Norfolk Tears.
Here, with compliments.
Aren't you staying? It's your party.
He looked round. Waller was at the centre of a cluster of girls, all of them giggling, as one sat on the crook of his outstretched arm, her legs swinging well off the floor. Ashley was slumped in a booth, also surrounded by girls, one of them feeding him dainty pieces of white seafood from a plate. He couldn't even spot the others.
No, he said, I have a date.
She must be quite something.
They are.
The Issachar was still anchored where they had left it, prow wedged up on the slippery bank, hull secure against casual observation by a huge cherry oak tree which overhung the river, lower branches trailing in the water. Lieutenant Murphy Hewlett let out what could well have been a whimper of relief when its shape registered. His retinal implants were switched to infrared now the sun had set. The fishing boat was a salmon-pink outline, distorted by the darker burgundy flecks of the cherry oak leaves, as if it was hidden behind a solidified waterfall. He hadn't really expected it to be there. Not a quantifiable end, not to this mission. His mates treated his name as a joke back in the barracks. Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. And it had, this time as no other. They had been under attack for 5 hours solid now. White fireballs that came stabbing out of the trees without warning. Figures that lurked half-seen in the jungle, keeping pace, never giving them a moment's rest. Figures that weren't always human. 7 times they'd fallen back to using the TIP carbines for a sweep scorch pattern, hacking at the jungle with blades of invisible energy, then tramping on through the smouldering vine roots and clawing ash. All 4 of them were wounded, to some extent. Nothing seemed to extinguish the white fire once it hit flesh. Murphy was limping badly, his right knee enclosed by a medical nanonic package. His left hand was completely useless. He wasn't even sure if the package could save his fingers. But Murphy was most worried about Nils Rigger. The lad had taken a fireball straight in the face. He had no eyes nor nose left, only the armor suit sensors enabled him to see where he was going now, datavising their images directly into his neural nanonics. But even the neural nanonics' pain blocks and a constant infusion of endocrines couldn't prevent him from suffering bouts of hallucination and disorientation. He kept shouting for them to go away and leave him alone, holding one-sided conversations, even quoting from prayers. Murphy had detailed him to escort their prisoner. He could just about manage that. She said her name was Jacqueline Couture, a middle-aged woman, small, overweight, with graying hair, dressed in jeans and a thick cotton shirt. She could punch harder than any of the supplement-boosted Marines. Louis Beath had taken a broken arm to prove it. She had more stamina than them, and she could work that electronic warfare trick on their suit blocks, if she wasn't being prodded with one of their heavy-caliber Bradfield chemical projectile rifles. They had captured her 10 minutes after their last contact with Jenny Harris. That was when they'd let the horses go. The animals were panicking as balls of white fire arched down out of the sky, a deceitfully majestic display of Borealis rockets. Something made a slithering sound in the red and black jungle off to Murphy's right.
Garrett Tucci fired his Bradfield, slamming explosive bullets into the vegetation.